Let's turn to 1 John then and chapter 4. And we'll read again from verse 7 down as far as verse 19. Now we are thinking together about the love of God. So let's read these verses and set our thoughts on God's love. So 1 John 4 from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. And he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Let's ask God to help us then, shall we? Lord our God, we are here to listen to your word, and we ask your blessing upon us as we turn to it. Lord, none of us will understand everything. Some of us would struggle to understand. Lord, we may be here and our minds are clouded by our experiences and by our own feelings. So we ask our God that you would speak to us, whatever our need is, whatever condition we're in. We pray, our God, that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. In these verses, the Apostle John twice tells us that God's nature is love. So if you look at verse 8, John writes, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And then go down to verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. So twice then, in a short space of verses, we have this declaration of the essence of God. God's basic nature is love. And what John is doing is he's telling us that God has shown that love, God has expressed his love in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. So the love of God is seen, it's revealed, it's, if you like, made visible in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live through him. It's a common enough experience to hear people question whether God is love. We said this morning that the past week we've been reminding ourselves of the events 50 years ago in Aberfan. And in the conversations I've had this week with people about that event, many times I've heard people say, how can a God of love allow an event like that when so many children, their teachers, and members of the community were killed by that slurry? How can a loving God allow that? And many times, I'm sure you as well as me, we've heard people say, based on their own experience, based on their own sufferings, or their own problems, or their own difficulties, people will say, how can a loving God allow that to happen to me? And very often when people say something like that, they are very angry, speaking out of bitterness, and then relating that bitterness to God. How can God? Why would God allow such a thing? Now, over the past week, one of the conversations I had was this. God didn't stack up the slag heaps. God didn't cause the men of the NCB to become deaf so that they didn't hear the warnings. It wasn't God who put all that slurry there. It was human action, human behavior, human ignorance, stubbornness, willfulness, human blindness that was the cause of what happened. And yet, even though we could say that it was human beings who created that disaster, still there is this habit in our minds to blame God when things go wrong. Rather than look at ourselves, we blame God. And we say that it's God who should have bailed us out, who should have rescued us from the consequences of our own actions. It is God who should have done something about it. Now, as you come to these verses, John is very keen, the Apostle John is very keen, that we should understand the way in which God shows his love to men and women. Does God show love by bailing us out? Does God show love by rescuing us from our own mistakes? Does God show love by swooping down from heaven like Superman and stopping us doing something that will be wrong? How does God show his love? And as you can see, you look at many of these verses in this passage, we've already seen verse 9. God shows his love in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the expression, he is the showing, the telling to the world of the love of God. And as you look at verse 9, look at what we read there. God shows his love towards us in that he has sent his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is precious to God. Jesus Christ is the most precious thing, if I can use that word, the most precious object in the heart of God. And yet God has been willing, out of love for men and women, to send his Son, give up his Son, to send his Son into our world. Can you see that in verse 9? God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Now that phrase is an amazing phrase. It means that there is something other than this world in which you and I live. What is that other thing? And that other thing is where God lives. Now we refer to that as heaven. So in heaven, there is God the Father. And what John is telling us here is that in heaven, there is God the Son. And God the Father sent his Son into our world, into this world, into this experience of life in the world. So from heaven, the home of God, from heaven, the home of the Son of God came, if you like, into our home and to live in our lives and our experience. And he did so, look at verse 9 again, so that we might live through him. So the love of God then is expressed in Christ. It's expressed in the sending of Christ from heaven into our world with a goal, with an end. And that goal, that end, is that human beings might live. Now, I think sometimes when we come to church week after week, we lose sight of some of these words. Wouldn't you say that we are already alive? Wouldn't you say that it's obvious that we are alive? If we weren't alive, then we wouldn't be here. So what does it mean that men and women might live because of Jesus Christ? Well, let me remind you of what we said a few weeks back. Take a look at some of these verses, especially verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. So use the same idea then of the Son of God being sent by God from heaven, being sent into our world. And then John adds this different explanation at the end of verse 10. To be the propitiation for our sins. What does it mean to live? So let me remind you then, the idea is God, because of his love, he sends his Son from heaven into this reality where you and I are living out our lives. God sends his Son into this world that we might live. Okay, what does live mean? Live means something to do with propitiation. At the end of verse 10. I just want to remind you of what that means. Propitiation, do you remember? There's another verse further on down that has the same idea. Propitiation means the experience of punishment for sin. So God sends his Son from his home, his heavenly home, into our earthly home, so that the Son of God might die for our sins upon the cross, be punished in our place, so that then whoever believes in him, whoever confesses him, whoever trusts in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, might live. And the idea of live is the idea of home. Can you just follow me for a second? God lives in his home. We refer to it as heaven. From heaven, he sent his Son. So the Son of God, Jesus Christ, left home and came among us here, lived in this world. So that whoever then believes in Christ will have a place in the heavenly home from which Christ came. And that heavenly home is described as life, living, eternal life. It is a guaranteed place, your own place, in the heavenly home from which Jesus Christ came. So look again at verse 9. The word live there It means live in heaven. It means live in eternity. It means life everlasting. The life with God. The life with Christ. The life in heaven. That's what it means in verse 9. So God in his love sent his son so that whoever then believes in the son will have heavenly life, life unending, life eternal. And then you see the same in verse 10, and you see the same throughout these verses. So let's come back to this idea that God is love. How do we understand the love of God? The love of God is not expressed in a way that we would like. We would like God in his love to save us from making mistakes. We would like God in his love to make it so that we never get ill, so that we never have any troubles. We would like God in his love to make it so that there's never war and there's never famine. There's never a refugee crisis. There's never a disaster. That's what we like. We would like God to show his love in the way that we want. But the New Testament message is very clear. God has shown his love in the way that he has chosen. And that way is in the person of his son. And he has sent his son on a rescue mission to rescue us from God's own wrath, from God's own anger against sin. And to be rescued means that you have life. You have everlasting life. You have life in abundance through Christ that leads to eternity. So just come down with me, if you will, to verse 16. Because what verse 16 then says is that this message of the love of God is to be made known to men and women. One of the toughest things I find, not really as a minister now, but as a Christian. So whether that's in your family or whether it's in the workplace, the toughest conversation to have is that God is love. I find that it's easy enough to talk about other things, but when you want a conversation with people about the love of God, that's very hard. But what this verse is saying is that we have to make known that God is love. So my job tonight, my job in the week, your job in the week, is to show your family, to show your friends, that God is love. To make clear to people that God is love. And when you and I do that, we'll find these objections being raised. Well, if God is love, why has he allowed this to happen to me? If God is love, why does he let these things happen? And we'll meet those experiences, won't we? So our job is to confront a world that doesn't believe that God is love. We have to confront such a world with the truth that the very nature of God is love. His very essence is love. So here's the problem then. We live in a world that is falling apart. We live in a world of disasters and famines. We live in a world of heartbreak and grief. We live in a world surrounded by people who are broken by life's experiences. And we are called to declare that God is love. His very nature is love. So we'll meet opposition. We'll meet anger and bitterness and resentment. But then our task is to say, God shows his love in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. God has sent his Son into this world, the world that we are living in. And his Son in this world has experienced all the bitterness himself in his life. Can you see how hard this task is? Because not only do we have to declare that God is love, we also have the task of explaining how God shows love. The way in which God has expressed his love. So it's not just saying that God is love, it's then going on to say that this love of God, this very heart of God, is expressed in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a huge task. And then we add the third element to it. We then explain to people that this is all with the goal of rescuing people from their sins and from wrath. Now, if you've had some conversations, I'm sure you have, with people about God's love, people will very often be open, other times closed, sometimes interested. Sometimes people will follow you. And it's very often in a conversation, someone will follow you until you get to the point where you say, God has sent his Son to rescue us from our sins. And at that point, people will say, are you saying I'm a sinner? Oh, well, if I'm a sinner then, so be it. I'll go down to hell. I'll have a great time there. And that's how people will often speak. Becoming, if you like, rather jovial at that point. Look at this verse 16. Our task is to make known the love of God so that men and women, individuals, will reach the point of believing. Not everyone will, but there will be those to whom we are explaining the love of God, who will then come to the point of believing. What does it mean to believe? So take a look at verse 16. We have known, so there's the preacher, there's others telling you about Christ. Christ is the expression of the love of God. So we know it, and then we believe it. What does that mean? Look at the verse. We believe that the love that God has for us. Believing is a personal response. It's a personal response to this message. And that means believing that it was for you that God sent his Son. Believing that it was for you that he died on a cross, that he was punished for you. So if you like, a conversation about the love of God turns from an idea, or it turns from theory, something up there and floating about in the sky, it turns from that to something very personal, very immediate, something that grabs your attention, takes hold of your mind, grabs your heart, and shows you that this is a matter of utmost urgency. That's what believing means. And so, as you and I tell this message about the love of God, meeting resistance, meeting opposition, meeting indifference, there will be those who will feel this urgent sense that this is the most important matter in life, that God should have loved him, that God should have loved me, that he should have sent his son for me, that his son would die for me. And this sense of the immediacy, the sense of the now, the personal, is what takes the heart and the mind of the listener. And just as a matter of theology, it's the Holy Spirit's work that we are now talking about. Verse 13. We know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's work to take this knowledge of God and his Son and apply it personally to the mind and the heart of an individual. And then back one verse, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Do you see there's an order there? You make God know. A person then believes. And then there is this confessing, this declaration, this understanding that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent from heaven, an expression of God's love, coming to rescue, to die on a cross. I believe this, I acknowledge this, and that person becomes aware, he knows that he has become a Christian. Through this process of hearing and believing in the love of God. So here's our task, here's my task, to make families and friends know. And really what I'm appealing for is that those of us here who are Christians, we seek to make known that God is love. I think what's brought this home to me has been these reflections over the past days in Aberfan. Did any of you take part in the minute silence on Friday? Did you hear it perhaps on the TV or the radio? There's been so much discussion about a tragedy, a lost generation, a community devastated by human folly. And in all of that, there have been those voices raised again about God, how he allows things. Why doesn't he step in? And then those questions about the nature of God. Is God love? What is he like then, if he exists at all? So here's what I'm appealing for. In the week to come, in our conversations at home, feeling as inadequate as we do, the one message that we are to seek to give to those around us, God is love. His very nature, his essence, his being, his character is love. The most fundamental thing we can say about God is that God is love. And love is always expressed. Now we get that, don't we? Love will always show itself. It will demonstrate. If it's just words, then it's not love. So God has demonstrated his love. But he has done so in this very specific way, in the sending, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's so much for us to talk about here, isn't there? We have to explain that Jesus Christ is God. We have to say that he came into our experience and he knew family life, work life, friendship. He knew tiredness. He knew disappointment and betrayal. We talk about the human experience of Jesus Christ. And it's really important to do that. Because if you can tell people that Jesus Christ lived like us, and felt like we do, and knew what we know, then you are bringing a point of contact in the lives of those we are talking to with God. And in a sense, that's who Jesus is. He is the contact between God and you and me. Jesus Christ is where we meet God. It's where we encounter God. It's where you and I come face to face with God. That's who Jesus is. So when you look at Jesus, this is what God says. I have done this for you. I sent him. I caused him to go to the cross. I made him sin. I punished him for you. That's what God says to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We meet the love of God on the ground of his Son, Jesus. And then what God does, he brings us to stand on that ground and say, how do you respond? And whoever believes, and whoever confesses, that person, through Jesus Christ, has peace with God, has sins forgiven, has everlasting life. I feel it quite strongly, I'm sure you do, that the need of our day, the need of our families, and our friends, and our colleagues, is to hear this authentic voice of the New Testament, that God is love expressed in Christ, so that whoever then responds to that has everlasting life. And what then we'll discover from verse 17 to 19 is we'll discover more about the love of God. So let's end with this thought. The Christian message begins with a declaration that God is love. That's where we start. And the Christian message explains that, declares that, overcomes the opposition that that message faces. That's how we begin. And then when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and confesses the Lord Jesus Christ, that person then begins a life of discovery. And what that person discovers is more and more about the love of God. In a sense, being a Christian can be summed up like this. The love of God reached out to me when I didn't know God. And the love of God helped me to believe. And the love of God has been the theme that I've pursued ever since. Being a Christian is about learning and discovering and exploring and plumbing the depths of the love of God. And what I want us to see is that one of the things we then discover as Christians is that the love of God is perfect. If you look at these verses that close the section, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now that's a tough verse. We'll come back to that verse again. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So as a Christian, we'll see that there is such a thing as perfect love. And that's a description of God's love for you and me. His love is perfect. And next Sunday, I want us to explore what that means. And perfect love drives out fear. So if any of us, as Christians, if we're fearful, if we are fearful in life, if we are fearful of the future, we need to understand the perfect love that God has for us. And as we understand that it's perfect love, that's what God has in his heart for you and me. If it's perfect love, then the more we understand that, the more that fear is an experience we don't have. And so as you look at verse 17 and 18, the idea of love being perfected means that a Christian's journey is a journey of exploring how much and in what way God loves him. And at one point on that journey, the Christian will have love perfected. And when that moment comes, there is no fear, because fear has been cast out to be no more. So it begins with love, the love of God in Christ, being brought to know that love for yourself, and then continuing as a Christian to discover that God loves you perfectly, and loves you completely. Let's pray, shall we, as we